Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
A little bit of fire somewhere, but
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
And you know the shape of my nose. It's a rather large proboscis, so I think you could call me Nostradamus.
Hey, he nails it again.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
What's up, bro?
Here's your host, Scott Cordici and Nick Coit.
You have a lot of time to talk. You need to fill that space.
Okay, welcome back. It is Cordici and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM WEEI. Nick Coit is here. Scott Cordici is not. Ben Kitchen is sitting in for him this morning, and he is through his first of 4 hours in this studio. You feeling okay?
I feel fine. We used to do 4 hours on Sundays Mark.
That's good.
I like it though because it's got a nice little break. I've got the pace with you for 2 hours,
and then I've got
Welcome to the Carnival. With Mark starting at 9,
and it's
perfect for me.
That's good. Yeah,
I get to have two different shows.
It is
it's fine.
It is a different pace. Like I'll go with a steady pace. Like Joe will be back there. Like okay, here's Toss to Break. Joe, Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Mark will be in the middle of a point. He'll be talking like this. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Yeah,
and I'm like, we're done. We're done.
I can get some water now. I love working with Mark.
Yes,
it's
he's
hilarious.
Great. He's great. He's very. Mark has always been passionate, and yeah, that's why.
Here's what
Mark.
I'll say about Mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fake.
No,
there's
it's not.
A lot of people that have accused him of this, you know, whatever, you know, putting on this persona.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's Mark.
No, it's Mark.
That's Mark.
If you know Dondero, you know it's Mark Dondero. That is
to
him,
the point
man.
Where it's like, yes, I know because I'm with him all the time. But I've talked to people that went. He went to college at Bryant.
Yep.
And he knows some girls that I knew back in my hometown of Framingham. And so I was like, what was Mark like back in college? And they're like, intense. I was like, intense.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so it's the same Mark.
Yep.
They're like, yeah, I guess.
Yep. Pure intensity. Oh, that's so funny. That's great. So we've been talking a lot of baseball. We started getting into football talk here. It's something I haven't brought up yet, and I just want to bring this up because it bugged me. This is what we do during the week. Things bug you, and you're like, all right, I'm going to save that for Saturday.
Yep.
You know, it's so I've always realized how big Tom Brady is here now. You know, like Tom is God. Tom Brady is God. He's the GOAT kid. I get that.
Yeah.
But the hysteria sometimes behind certain things with Brady is amazing to me. It still amazes me. The most recent case being a hat that he put on during the post-game press conference. Like, we are all up in arms about a hat. Like, that's
so stupid.
It's unbelievable. It is. And it's a good talking point for news. Like, we talked about it last night
though?
On the news. Well, we were like, do you like the hat? Do you not like the hat? Whatever. People talk about it. I heard him on Channel 12 talk about it last night. Like, that's all well and good. But really, my bigger point was, I've had a couple of these conversations over the last month since the contract thing came up with Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one this week, and I was like, are you people insane? Like, what are we doing here? So, like, think what you want to think about the new contract. Is Brady going to go somewhere or not? I believe, and I think I've heard you say this too, Ben, I will believe it when I see it, when Tom Brady walks out the door. He has it made here. The man does not have to show up to off-season workouts anymore. He doesn't. He has it made here. His family has it made here. He's the God. He's the GOAT. Like, that is Tom Brady here.
Yeah.
So going somewhere else to me just doesn't make sense. But people are all up in arms because, yes, he got a contract extension, but he didn't really get a contract extension. But there are people out there that are already resigned to the fact that he's leaving and are trying to predict his next stop. I had a conversation with somebody that was like, "So, what do you think about Brady, huh? I think he's going somewhere. What do you think, the Raiders?" I go, "What? The Raiders? No. Tom Brady playing for John Gruden?" The Raiders.
Now with AB.
Have you watched Hard Knocks? Have you seen the dumpster fire? And I sort of said along the lines in a nicer way. And then I heard, I don't know, what about Arizona? Like, Arizona? And he just started throwing out things. Wait, and I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? First of all, he is the quarterback of the New England Patriots for the 2019 season. People, let's focus on this season. I think it's going to be a great year for the Patriots. Let's enjoy it. We don't know how long Tom Brady's going to play. We don't. He may play till he's 2012 years old. Like, I don't know. But, like, let's enjoy this season, and then we'll come to the contract thing. We'll see. Let's just enjoy this. But then predicting where he's going to go already, think about it. It makes sense to yourself. The Oakland Raiders. Seriously?
First of all, by the time he'd play for the Raiders, they'd be the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yes, exactly. He's not going anywhere.
It's not Oakland. Here, have I told you my theory?
No.
One of my little mini conspiracy theories. I might have said it off the air.
Not the swap-a-rooney between him and Garoppolo, is it? It's not that one.
Swap? No.
I've heard that. I've heard that prediction.
No. My
Dan's theory.
It involves this, but it's not that itself. Okay. My theory was, if Brady was ever going to leave, the only place that would make sense to me, and seemingly to him a little bit, would be to go to the 49ers.
Yes.
For two reasons. One, it's home, mm-hmm. as in where he grew up. And two, it's the team he idolized as a child.
Yes.
And that is, I think, inherently intriguing to most athletes at some point, particularly if you end up playing professionally completely across the country.
Yeah.
Be nice to go home where your family is, all the people that you know and are comfortable with and everything like that. And that the well was slightly poisoned by Bill, which is why he took a little bit less to send Jimmy to San Francisco, which was insurance, as in, okay, I'm protecting against you potentially ever leaving because I think the only place you would go to is San Francisco.
Right.
Now they're in a position where they, A, can't have you, B, can't afford you, and C, don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always my little bit of theory. I don't see him going anywhere.
No.
Period. And everyone's speculating this week and all of a sudden putting Tennessee as a viable destination because he has, you know, a little bit of slap and tickle with Mike Vrabel is one of the dumbest effing things I have ever heard. He's had good relationships with other coaches.
Everything.
Was he going to all of a sudden pop up in Denver because Josh McDaniels is there? No. Is
the person I had the conversation with said Denver. I'm like, stop. Stop.
It doesn't. No.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
All because,
but it also doesn't make sense for these other organizations either because if you're going to make that investment in Tom, you're obviously going to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, because if he's leaving, he's probably doing it for a money play, I would assume.
Mm.
And so you're going to pay for it, and you're going to potentially put yourselves in a situation like Denver did with Peyton Manning, which is, okay, great, but you'll have him for less time. And then all of a sudden we have to figure everything out and rebuild again in a year or two. It's not great business for other teams to even do it unless you're close.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are San Francisco with Alex Smith and then you're like, hey, he can get us here, but he can't get us over the mountaintop. That's why they made the move to Kaepernick because maybe he could get us over the mountaintop.
Yep.
If you're in a situation like that with an older quarterback who is quality but not great and can't win it all, maybe you make that decision. But how many of those places really exist in the NFL right now?
And that's why I don't even want to touch it because it's like, just relax, everybody. Let's enjoy this season. Let's look at this team. Let's watch this year. Let's see them get to the Super Bowl again because I really believe right now they are really, really good, especially defensively. And then we'll figure out what's going on. I just don't think he's going to walk out the door for, you know, just like that. Like after the season, like, all right, yeah, see ya, I'm good. I'm good. I got my six, seven rings. I'm out. It's like, let's stop predicting and let's enjoy the season. That's just the way
he's so attached with the region.
Yes.
He's attached with the crafts
at
a far deeper level than anyone either will admit or even understand.
Which is why I don't think he's walking out the door.
No.
Because he's so involved in the organization, the community, and with the crafts. And the house going on the market thing, I thought, was just, I think it's just bad timing. I think it just came out and people freaked out about it. It's not like he's going to the Giants.
They're freaking out like morons about it, too.
Yeah.
Because they're taking their life as making, you know, maybe their family pulls in $150,000 a year, so they're judging Tom's decisions based on their financial situation. So they're like, oh, he's selling his house and he's buying one in New York. That doesn't mean he's not, A, going to buy another one here or maybe rent it for a couple of years like most professional athletes actually do.
Well, especially with the U.S. Open coming to Brookline in, what, 2022? Somebody would love to rent that and be on the ninth hole, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure Phil would love that.
Yes,
or,
right.
Or Tiger would like to bring a harem of women over there.
Oh, jeez.
He's got a big garage.
Sure.
He can fit plenty of women there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. 401-737-1287. Text us 37937. A couple of texts to get to here. Texter says, the Pats are going from a finesse game to a power game, both on offense and defense. Super Bowl 54, here we come, I hope. I think especially just the defense impresses me. I've said it over and over again so far on this show. The defense impresses me. There's just so much versatility there and so much experience. And I think that goes a long way. The secondary, but really what's impressed me is the front seven and especially the versatility of the linebackers and the fact that you can bring Van Noy on one play. You can put Dante Hightower. I think they had him lining up out wide trying to cover somebody. I don't know who it was at one point. I'm like, man, these guys are just moving everywhere. But they're so smart and they're so engaged that they can do it in different ways. Oh, yeah. And then you added a guy like Michael Bennett, who is just a pro. He is a pro, man. That is a pass rusher. I know Trey Flowers was a good player for this team. And, you know, he got the big contract and good for him. And I'm sure he's going to have a great career, you know, going forward. But to me, Michael Bennett is a better pass rusher.
Well, he's definitely a better pass rusher. The advantage you have with Flowers is he's a little more well-rounded.
Sure.
But is that as important in today's game? Not quite.
Not with this defense and the smarts they have in the linebacking core. And then you add the rookies, and it just, man, oh, man, this defense is really, after last season and the Super Bowl and the performance there, you feel really, really good about it. And I've always said, you know, I think people say 2004, probably one of, if not the best Patriots defense.
It's the best Patriots team, period.
Yeah, and 14 was my personal favorite. I loved that team. I thought there was a lot of talent on there, and especially defensively. I thought that was the last great year of Darrelle Revis, and you got it here to win you a Super Bowl. He was, oh, man, was he fun to cover. Like, you want to talk about a pro. That's what Michael Bennett starting to remind me of a little bit, just the way he carries himself in practice, the way he carries himself, you know, on the field, the way he plays. He's just so smart. He makes it look easy. That's the way Revis was when he was here, especially in the practice field. The guy would go out there 90 degrees, he'd be wearing full sweatpants. And I'd be like, what are you doing? He's like, why? I got to stay warm, man. I got to stay warm. That's what he always say. I'm like, stay warm. What is he talking about? I never question it because I'm like, this dude knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think the guys that were in the secondary at the time really benefited from him being here. Younger guys like a Logan Ryan, who's in Tennessee now. You know, I'm sure Malcolm Butler benefited from him being here. Even Devin McCourty, somebody like that. Even Chung, like, you know, those are guys that, and I think Michael Bennett reminds me of that, bringing in just a guy that is a consummate pro. And you know, I know he's a Bennett, so he talks a lot. He's had his ups and downs as a personality and whatnot, but I think he really appreciates being here. And I think Coach Belichick really likes having him here. And I think it's a good match. I really do.
I think having Martellus have been here for a year and a half, I guess.
Yes.
Really does help the situation because I think it puts Michael at a little bit more ease going into this situation. Because we know he can be a little...
He can be a pain. He can be a pill.
Persnickety.
He can.
And you know, we saw that in Philly. We certainly saw it out in Seattle at times. But I think having his brother have already gone through the system here and knowing Brady, knowing Bill, and... maybe giving him some pointers of like, hey, avoid this. But you know what? This is something that Bill loves.
Yeah.
So if you can hit on that, you got it made in the shade.
Just come in, do your work. You don't have to talk much. Say this, this, and this, and be our pass rusher. Be our situational, you know, we need you to go get a sack on second, third, whatever. Like, be a guy that's going to come in and, you know, do your job. They always say it, and it works. And I think this defense particularly so far is shaping up to be one that – everybody's going to have a job, maybe a lot of different jobs, and they can handle them well.
How much do you buy into Gerard Mayo doing play call? Is he
a
just
lot.
Okay, cuz I was going to ask is this really him kind of formulating this defense? Is he formulating the defense within Belichick's scheme? Is he just kind of being a parrot for Belichick? That's kind of what I am curious about with regards to Mayo.
To me, I don't think he's a parrot, no. Because okay. I think Jerod Mayo was a really smart player when he was on the field. And now that he's not and he can see things in a different way. And he's always, Bill Belichick, I think, really valued him as a leader on the team. But now he knows that he can give him some responsibility there. I think Belichick has a lot to do with it. But I'm sure, too, even with the way they were going with Brian Flores here in terms of that like amoeba defense the second half of last year and just guys doing different things, I think it sort of went from there and they've sort of built on that, and that's the direction that they've gone here with the defense. Mm. And so I think maybe Belichick looked at it and said, okay, we've had a lot of success with this, you know, but Jerod's pretty smart to know that I can give him a little bit more and more and more of the duties. And Jerod's just a really high-energy guy. And he was teammates with some of these guys. So sure. They trust him. They trust his knowledge of what they're trying to do. They trust that he'll try to set them up or he'll try. So I do put a lot into Jerod Mayo being out there because I think he's pretty smart. And I think not only Jerod, but there's other guys, you know, on that defensive staff that I think are probably helping. Even Steve, even his son, I think he's had a little bit of a hand, at least in terms of what they're trying to do. He's got a really veteran group in that secondary, so it's not like...
I know half those guys are older than him.
It's not like he has to coach them up. Yeah, exactly. I think they have a good relationship there. And even a guy like a Brett Bielema, like he's there. He was a college coach. He was a head coach for a long time, so he knows the game. Like there's guys there, I think, that Belichick can lean on. I think he's taking the lead role, but... Yeah, I do put some stock in a Jerod because you can see it. I just think you can see it.
I have a question for you about this defense and the Belichick's philosophy on the defense, because for years we saw it as bend, don't break. Mm. And it had certain levels of success. Sometimes you'd win. Sometimes you'd get the doors blown off you. But we've obviously seen it kind of morph into a more aggressive, more physical defense. Mm. Do you think that's a Belichick reacting to the way he sees the NFL going? Or do you think this is possibly a reaction to the construction of his own offense, and that being so different, he's got to kind of realign how he wants the defense to play?
Maybe a little bit of both. You know, maybe a little bit of both. I think the way you've drafted here, you know, taking a running back in the first round last year, you know, I think, you know, offensively, he knows his quarterback's getting older, and Tom has not slipped much, if any. Like, Tom is still Tom, you know, but to be able to rely on, there were times, I think, maybe 09, 10, whatever, at where it was all on Brady's shoulders. Like, he had to really step up, and it was Brady or bust sort of thing. And, you know, because he's reconstructing the defense at the time. Now, I think it's constructed differently. And, you know, you can rely on your defense, but also you have Tom Brady under center, so you can probably go out there and score a lot of points. You can win in a lot of different ways. And you saw that in the playoffs last year. They scored a lot of points against Kansas City, and then they won a low-scoring affair in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Like, so, you know, I think maybe it's a little bit of both. But, yeah, if you're going to trend in a different direction here as Tom gets older, as you prepare maybe for life after Tom Brady, if you have a well-constructed defense to base things on and you have to put a young quarterback in there in a situation in 2, 3, 4 years whenever Brady decides to hang him up or go to Oakland or something, then you're well-constructed in other areas so that your football team just doesn't go down the tubes because you know you lost the greatest quarterback of all time. So, and the league, too, I'm sure it's a reaction to it and just being versatile and trying to throw teams different ways. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
Sure. That's fair. I think a lot of it does have to do, and I think you're right, it is a little bit of both. It's kind of looking at the landscape of the league and saying, okay, everyone's getting a little bit faster and a little bit slimmer, so maybe let's be a little more aggressive offensively with our running game. And that's why you have someone like Devlin being as big or as involved as you're going to have him, and the tight end's a little bit less involved, probably because they suck outside of Watson.
Izzo made a fantastic catch. Yeah, and that throw was unbelievable.
Yes. Everything about that was amazing, but that alone doesn't get you onto the team.
No.
But you're seeing Devlin have an advantage with Devlin now. As linebackers get a little bit smaller, and you're seeing that those lines blurred a little bit between all the way from defensive linemen through the secondary, someone like Devlin can be a battering ram and actually take significant advantage in that.
Right.
Because now he's going to go up against a linebacker that's not built LeVon Kirkland
yeah.
from the old Steelers, who's
wow.
just a Mack truck.
Yep.
You know, I was trying to think of those 90s guys that were obviously all on eight times types of steroids.
Kevin Green.
Kevin Green was a little bit different, but yeah, he was a big jacked up guy too, but he was a pass rusher.
Mm.
But I was thinking of Kirkland, just that monster. Oh my God, the scariest human being ever. And so the defense is kind of bucking against that trend a little bit and saying, okay, we're going to get a little bit bigger, and we're just going to outstrength you, too.
Sure, sure. But there is still some speed and guys that can go out and tackle well, and that's something always that Bill Belichick values. And you know, it was a real wake-up call, I think, for Belichick, too, in terms of the speed of the game? Super Bowl 51. I think Bill Belichick looked at that. They come back, and they win. Greatest comeback of all time in the Super Bowl. But I'm sure Belichick said, great, we won another ring. But, man, we got run around in that first half. Those running backs for the Falcons in the first half of that game, they were just going, they were setting the edge and just foom, 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 like all over the place. Devonta Freeman and like those guys were just,
they're not
and
it was even like, that good.
No, and I know, but the speed, that was a wake-up call for Belichick. And so I think he's added, yes, he's added some power, but I do think he has guys that are like, okay, we can keep up with the speed of the game now too, in terms of defense and in terms of your offense, and guys that can, you know, go out there and run with him. Because I remember Belichick, he said something along those lines at some point too, and I was like, wow, yeah, it really was a wake-up call for him. Because they were running circles around him. They were, you know. But they won the game, which is nice. So they got another ring out of it. 401-737-1287, the number to call us. Text us 37937. We'll take a break. We will come back. We'll talk some more Pats and anything you want to talk about. It's Cordish and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Sports Radio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.